We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the first chapter, the seventh Mishnah. We had learned that Nitai of the city Arbel said one should distance oneself from a bad neighbor, one shouldn't connect to a wicked person, and the final line, Ve'al titya'esh min apuranut. Don't give up on bad things. And this sentence, Al titya'esh min apuranut, has multiple levels of interpretation. So we'll learn Rabbeinu Yonah as we're learning. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Samach shnei dvarim eile, Nitai ha'arbeli juxtaposed these two ideas. Ve'amar, he said, Al titchaber la'rasha, don't connect to a wicked person, and she'en lecha li'tiyesh min ha'poranut, and you shouldn't give up from bad things. What does that mean? Ve'al tomar belibcha, odenu omed b'shalva, v'sham sacheket lo etchaber elav. A person sometimes sees that someone's being successful because seems like everything's going all right for them, even though they're doing wicked things. Very often it can seem that way. And so a person says to himself, why don't I join forces with them? Just yesterday, they interviewed Ed Koch. And he said, Ed Koch is a Jew who used to be mayor of New York, who came out against Obama. And then, just before election time, he said, Obama's a good person, everyone should vote for him. So yesterday he said, I was suspicious all along, he'd turn his back on Israel, and he'd be bad for the Jews. So they asked him, then why'd you tell people to vote for him? If you were suspicious that he'd be bad for the Jews, so then why'd you tell the Jews to vote for him? So Ed Koch said, well, I knew he'd be successful anyways. So at least someone should be with him. I don't want to say what it is, but the Mishnah says sometimes there's this temptation that you see someone who it seems is going to succeed even though they're going to be evil. And then a person says, well, if he's going to succeed, let me join forces with him. So that's why the Rabbeinu Yonah learns that's the idea of the two being juxtaposed. Don't connect, and don't give up on this idea that bad things can still happen. A person sometimes thinks, when his ship is sinking, I'll jump ship. Meaning, let me join him for his ups, and I'll leave him when he goes down. I won't go down with him.
Is it permitted like to join a coalition of somebody who you think has evil policy, but you may have influence? That may have been Kaich's logic or something, I don't know. I don't know his mind. Seems bizarre to me, but...
Yeah, it was very strange. Ve'lo tuchal, Rabbeinu Yonah says, but you won't be able to jump ship. Ki lo tedam ha'yeled yom. It's not like one can anticipate when things are going to happen. You never know what's coming tomorrow. And when he suddenly falls, then if one joined forces with him, he gets taken with him. When he starts falling, all his friends fall with him. A person shouldn't either say, I'll make believe I'm his friend, but in my heart I won't be. That's also wrong to practice sycophancy. It's sinful for a person to practice sycophancy to the wicked in this world. So that's a very interesting line, because the Talmud does tell us in Tractate Sota that in this world you can be a sycophant towards the wicked. You don't have to take him on. There's a lot of discussion there. What does that mean? Sometimes it means for business purposes, you don't have to tell them, hey, I hate your guts because you're a thief, you're a liar, you're a cheat. There's a discussion among the commentaries. What does the Talmud really mean when the Talmud says you don't have to take on the wicked? Sometimes you could put on an act. Where do we apply that? Where don't we apply that? But Rabbeinu Yonah says here in principle, that's one of the things God hates. It's also interesting because the Talmud says that there are different types of people that God doesn't want to meet. That, so to speak, when they pass from the world, God says, don't let them in. I'm not interested in seeing them. And one of them is a sycophant. the two type of people who play it nice and they show like they like people, and really deep down they don't think so.
ועל עניין
זה אמר שלמה, יראה את השם בניב המלך אם שונים על תתערב, כי פתאום יקום אדם ופיד שניהם מי יודע. Shlomo HaMelech said in Proverbs, "Fear God, my son, and the king. Don't connect with people that are different from God or different from the king, because they will fall suddenly, and no one knows when their downfall will come." Perush, Samach Yirat Hashem and Yirat Melech Basar Vadam. So King Solomon's first verse is perplexing. How does he align fearing God with fearing the king? What's he putting them together for? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that's the allegory in Proverbs. King Solomon purposely juxtaposed two ideas. You're scared of a physical king, not because of your soul. You're scared of him because you're scared what he'll do to your physical body. And the idea of fearing Hashem is because of the soul. So Shlomo HaMelech juxtaposed both ideas. Ve'amal, ta'asher ata roe ki ha'melech sone lechol ohev soneo. Just as you know, the king hates all his enemy's friends. Whoever likes his enemy is on his blacklist. And when the king finally decides to do away with his enemies, he tries to verify who dared befriend this guy when you knew he was my enemy. And then he takes him down together with his enemy. So Hashem also does the same thing. Whoever is going to join forces with those that differ. What does that mean, differ? Those that try to twist the Torah and the mitzvos. Kishonim yotze kmo acharei dvarei lo yishnu. V'chasher arshim ha-shonim yilku gam chavreim yesfu imahem. And so the word shonim, he proves from a verse in Job, means those that try to twist the Torah, and when they get hit, so then their friends go down with them. Kmosh katuv, hal rasha le'azar ul'sonei Hashem te'ehav, uvezot alecha katzaf, ki pitom yakum edam, shelo tomar tarev imo atav, chitavo alav ra'a, etrachek mimenu, ki pitom yakum edo, v'lo tuchal limalet al nafshecha. And that's the idea that he's explaining over here, that you're not going to be able to forecast when a person falls, and when he does, you won't be able to jump ship. So that's, he's claiming that this Mishnah comes from that verse, that in that verse King Solomon says, just as you can't anticipate when the king will finally go out against his enemies to jump ship, so too you can't anticipate when Hashem will knock down his enemies to jump ship. And so the idea he's connecting here, the two ideas of the Mishnah, don't connect with a wicked person and don't give up on the idea that bad things happen, because you never know when Hashem is going to take down the evildoers, so better stay away from them even if they seem to be successful now. In the long run, when they fall, whoever's with them is going to fall as well. And we see that in the Torah, the whole story of Korach, Dathan and Aviram, their children, their families went down with them, whoever was connected to them. This is an idea we see over and over again. So that's the Rabbeinu Yonah's original interpretation here. Other commentaries don't learn the Mishnah this way. Other commentaries learn that it's a separate idea. Antityesh min apuranot. We have a tendency to assume that when things are going well, they'll always go well. And so we assume nothing bad will ever happen. We live with this fairy tale, they lived happily ever after. You just buy into the right stock and it'll just keep going up and up and up. And you never think, hey, one day it's going to crash. Or the other way around. So that's the interpretation most of the commentaries take on. That you shouldn't give up. You should always realize there's a rainy day around the corner. Right? Get a raincoat. It's been here for 3 days. But all winter long, we didn't have rain here. So that's how other commentaries learn. Tov. Yeah.